I bid to come back to Washington, D.C. We do have some input into where we go. Your first one or two posts are directed. But when you have tenure and you're a little further along in your track, you get to bid on the posts that you want to go to. And at the time for me, it was, you know, I'd been out for 8 years. It was time to come back to D.C. to reconnect with family and to kind of learn the department from on a larger scale, to see IRM, how things were developed, how programs were initiated. So it was time for me to come back.
What was your experience like overseas beyond wonderful being some of the places that you've been? But what was your experience like in terms of how you communicated with the offices in D.C., not just the mechanics of it, but in the nature of how you felt you were able to stay informed about what was going on, both in your job and in your relationship with the folks that you work for back here?
Well, when you're overseas, you tend to be a little more sort of a contained unit, whereas in D.C. you might work on a specific part of a network. Maybe you manage a server array or you work with the antivirus or something. When you're overseas, you do everything. You might work on the network. You might work with the radio system, with telephone systems, satellite, training customers, training other people in the embassy, how to use new equipment or new software, new technology. And so you really get a lot of hands-on, and a lot of times you can come back to D.C. and you know, they let you know when things are coming out to the field. They kind of give you a description of what's coming and how it's supposed to work, and you get a lot of training classes to help you adjust to new technology. But, you know, when you're 15 or 14 hours apart or 12 hours apart or something, you may not always be able to reach back here, so you learn to create a network of friends that maybe are in posts nearby. And certainly there are people in D.C. who are available 24/7, but, you know, may not be a correct expert you need. So you learn to create your own network of friends that can help you out with whatever you need. And there are also some lists, and we call them SIS lists or IMO lists, in email where somebody may throw out a question and everybody who's a member can respond and say, oh, I had the same thing, and this is how we resolved it. So it's really a great network of people trying to help each other.
That's what I was thinking, was that I would imagine there's probably almost this entrepreneurial network of people where you solve your own problems at levels at which you're comfortable doing so. Obviously, you're not going to take a whole bunch of autonomy on on yourself, but the level at which you're able to do so, you're kind of out there and really doing your own thing.
Doing your own thing in some aspects, yes. I mean, certainly you have to be a little creative and sometimes how you resolve a problem. But there are a lot of guidelines that you're given, so which helps you kind of frame your response or how you're going to respond to something. Like I said, there are a lot of people back here in D.C. or across posts worldwide that can help you out. If it's a problem that can't be resolved locally or you can't get a good answer or a definitive answer from some of your colleagues, then you reach back here. And the branch that I work with now, the Customer Liaison Division, we do interface to all the IRM branches. So if somebody has a question and they can't discern the answer on their own, we'll reach out and find the people who have the correct answer of how this works, or if there isn't a definitive answer, maybe we can help them create an answer or create a response and maybe get something fixed that wasn't known before.
Tell me about the experience in coming from, where was your last station?
My last post was Sarajevo, Bosnia.
Okay, so you come back from Sarajevo to Washington, and talk about that transition both professionally and personally. Was it hard for you to make that transition from being in such a different culture back to something that's a little more familiar to you?
Not really. I mean, I tend to be kind of a chameleon. I'm pretty happy wherever I go. So it was nice to come back to D.C. and, you know, reengage with a lot of friends and family that you don't have as much contact with when you're overseas. You know, getting your own house and all that sort of thing is, I mean, obviously I did that before I went overseas. So just remembering some of those things. There are a lot of things that you have available here that you don't have overseas, so it's nice to get back to that as well. But you do miss some of the friends that you've made while you're overseas. And I still have contacts at a lot of the posts where I've been, and people I've worked with at different posts who now are at different places around the world, and we still keep in contact. And when they come through D.C. area, when I've come through, we get together and And so it's really kind of nice. We still keep that network of friendships.
It's a pretty amazing idea that you have a community of friends that are literally all over the entire world.
It is. I have a friend who's coming in from Rwanda this week, and we're going to, you know, get together for lunch or something. I have friends from one who just came from Bratislava who's going to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I helped him talk to the Haiti task force office to kind of find out what was going on there and what he can expect. And we also keep information about all the posts in my office. So, you know, we brief people as they go through to let them know what kind of equipment they can expect at their post, what kind of difficulties there may be, or what opportunities there may be for them to engage both at work and in their social life. There are a lot of outreach opportunities when you're overseas, and a lot of different experiences you get overseas that you don't get here. For example, you may work out a lot of VIP visits that come to your post. My first post was Tokyo, so we had a great many presidential, Secretary of State, those sorts of visits. So, you know, it's a lot of work. You're working with the hotels, with the local telecom providers, local internet service, trying to get things set up, communications available at every place that the people might be, so they can always have communication back to D.C. if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you work long hours. It may be a little stressful, but, you know, it's really, really fun. And then afterwards, you often have a chance to kind of meet and greet with the people who are coming through because they're very thankful for the work that you're doing on their behalf. So I've had amazing opportunities I would never have being here in the States. I've been able to meet President Bush, President Clinton, Secretary Powell, Secretary Rice. And for me, the coolest person that I got to meet was Jean Kirkpatrick, who in 1981 was nominated to be the ambassador to the UN. And at a time when there were not many women in roles of prominence, she was sort of my role model. And so when she came to head the Human Rights Commission in Geneva, I had the opportunity to talk with her. And we discussed a lot of things in our backgrounds, learned we both had lived in the same small town briefly, and I got to take a picture with her, and it's still one of my most treasured articles.